भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमद्भागवतान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्विशेष शून्यवाणी पाश्चात्य चरणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव श्री गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Verse 12. Tasmat aham vigata viklava ishvarasya savatmana mahi granami yata manisham nicho jaya guna visargam anupravishtah puyeta yena hi puman anuvanitena tasmadaham vigata viklava ishvarasya Savatmana mahi granami yata manisham
Savatmana mahi granami yata manisham
Nicho jaya guna visagam anupravishta
Nicho jaya guna visagam anupravishta
Puyeta ye nahi pumana nuvanatena
Puyeta ye nahi pumana nuvanatena
Tasmadaham vigata viklava ishvarasya
Tasmadaham vigata viklava ishvarasya
Savatmana mahi granami yata manisham
Savatmana mahi granami yata manisham
Nicho jaya guna visarga manu pravishta
Nicho jaya guna visarga manu pravishta
Puyeta ye nahi pumana nuvanatena
Puyeta ye nahi pumana nuvanatena
Translation, therefore, although I am born in a demoniac family, I may without a doubt offer prayers to the Lord with full endeavor, as far as my intelligence allows. Anyone who is being forced by ignorance to enter the material world may be purified of material life if he offers prayers to the Lord and hears the Lord's glories. Purport is clearly understood that a devotee does not need to be born in a very high family to be rich, to be aristocratic, or to be very beautiful. None of these qualifications will engage one in devotional service. With devotion, one should feel God is great and I am very small. Therefore, my duty is to offer my prayers to the Lord. Only on this basis can one understand and render service to the Lord. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanyaschasmi tatvataha tato mam tatvato gyatva visite tadanantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj decided to offer his best prayers to the Lord without consideration of his material position. Translation, therefore, although I was born in a demoniac family, I may without a doubt offer prayers to the Lord with full endeavor as far as my intelligence allows. Anyone who has been forced by ignorance to enter the material world may be purified of material life if he offers prayers to the Lord and hears the Lord's glories. By karma, we are born in a certain family, under certain conditions, in a certain country, with a material body. Some of the conditions may not be very pleasant. In India, if one is born in a Mlecha or Chandala, Yavana family, then that's considered very bad, bad karma, due to sinful activities. Anyone who is born in a lower caste is not considered to be have good fortune. If one is born in upper caste, Vaishya Kshatriya Brahman, then one is considered more fortunate. In the Western world, of course, we don't have such a caste system, but still we have divisions of society. So those are poor, born in the poorer sections, doing manual labor, they are considered to be less fortunate. And those who are doing skilled jobs in families where the father and mother are doing skilled labor, higher class, with better income, then they're considered to be more fortunate. And, of course, not only the family one is born into, the country also, some countries are considered more fortunate than others in terms of material facilities. So if one is born in a country which is always poor, a desert country, for instance, that is not considered very good punyas, some sinless there. If one is born in a land which is always cold, very, very bad. So countries also have something to do with karmas. Of course, even being born in certain times is not considered very good. To be born in an era when there's lots of troubles in the world. To be born in Kali Yuga is not considered very good as compared to Satya Yuga. And as well as that, even one's particular body, there is good and bad. If one is born sickly, that is not considered very good karma. One is born into a family where one has some disability, that's also not considered good karma. So in this way we have many considerations of high and low, good karma and bad karma in this material world. According to the material system, that is Varnashram system, such a birth, whatever birth one takes, qualifies you for some position in society, either high or low. Therefore we have Varnas. If one has a certain mixture of qualities due to karma, one is put in place as a Vaishya, or if one has other qualities, one is placed as a Brahman or Kshatriya. And then one does one's duties in life. This is all due to past activities. Our birth and all of its conditions are due to karma, past acts. Devotional service, however, is not dependent on karma. So therefore, one may be born in the worst family, but still, one may be qualified for bhakti. One may not be qualified for certain activities in Varnashram. One cannot do brahminical activities, let's say, if one is sinful, being from a sinful background and born in a low family. However, one still has the opportunity to perform devotional service, because devotional service has nothing to do with karmas. What is the qualification for bhakti? Anyone know? It is not birthright. It is not intelligence as such. What is it? What is it qualifies us for taking up devotional service?
Eagerness.
Close. Mercy. Well, that's necessary. Definitely. Mercy of a devotee, also necessary. Ultimately, it is faith. Faith, of course, is, let's say it's like a bhakti in a, it is the precursor of bhakti, we can say, a true devotion of the soul. It is an inclination of the soul towards Krishna, which has to be developed into devotion. But it's a favorable inclination towards the Lord, first by taking faith in Shastra, accepting the scriptures of the Lord. So therefore we have a progression, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anarjana Vritti, Nishtha, etc. It starts with faith. There has to be a genuine interest to surrender unto the Lord, which is free from karma and gyan, etc. So that is the basis upon which we can perform devotional service. So that faith may appear in anyone. It may appear in a sinful person. It may appear in a pure person. It may appear in anyone. The karmas can be various, but this can appear in all those cases. Because Shraddha is generated by devotional association, mercy of the devotees. So that mercy can be manifested in any person at any time. And is not restricted by the material karmas, etc. So though a person may have done many sinful activities, if he gets the mercy of a devotee, then he has a chance to develop his faith. And that faith may appear, even though he is in an unfortunate position due to his karmas. So therefore, Prahlad was born in a unfortunate family, we can say, because he was born in a family of asuras, Daitya family. Mm-hmm. And all the previous parents, etc., were all part of the whole line was considered to be faulty. Hiranyakasipu was a great demon, and one would expect that therefore his sons would also be demons. But we see that Prahlad wasn't, due to association of Narada Muni, to the mercy of Narada Muni, he wasn't. So though he was born in a bad family, and that we can say some karma or something is there, seems to be there, at the same time, he got the mercy of Narada Muni, became a devotee. So therefore we do not consider his background, how he was born. That's not taken into consideration. Actually, of course in India they're very strict about which family you're born into. Everybody asks what family you're from. And then they know whether you should be a friend or not, according to the family, type of family you're born into. They may be friendly or not so friendly. But according to the family, we generally expect certain results, you know. So we'd expect an Hiranyakasipu's found everyone would be a demon. But Prahlad was not a demon. He was completely different from everyone else. So in India, of course, Vaishnavism, we consider that it is a fault to consider a person based upon his birth. If we consider a person high or low or good or bad according to bhakti by his birth or his past karmas, then that is considered to be Vaishnava aparad. So we don't judge a person based upon his birth. That is not so common in the West, of course, but in India this caste, varna, is considered quite prominent and still there. So therefore a Sudra Vaishnava is less than a Brahmin Vaishnava. Like this. So this is all considered to be material consideration. We should not consider that. If that is the case, then we should not even consider Prahlada a devotee, because he was born in a real demon family, worse than the Sudras and the Mlechas and the Yavanas or anyone. So therefore we shouldn't consider him a devotee at all, or consider him a low class devotee. But yet he's considered a very great devotee. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself used to take great pleasure in hearing the pastimes of Prahlada and Narasimhadeva. Therefore he's a very exalted devotee in spite of the fact that he came from bad family. So therefore we cannot judge a person based upon his family connections. There's some relationship there in most cases, some influences there, but we can see sometimes the opposite is there. So we cannot judge Prahlad based upon his father. He was completely opposite in all ways. So Prahlad himself is considered himself very, very fallen, because he comes from such a family, a very bad family. I come from a demon family. So therefore, what can I do? Yet, he knows that if he performs devotional service, no matter where he comes from, whatever family he comes from, if he offers sincere service to the Lord, that will be accepted by the Lord. So in this verse, he is expressing his eagerness to offer prayers to the Lord. Offering prayers to the Lord is a type of devotional service. We have different angas of bhakti, or different ways in which we can engage our senses in the devotional service of the Lord. And we can engage our eyes by seeing the deity or seeing the worship of the Lord. We engage the ears by hearing about the Lord or hearing the holy name. We engage the tongue by kirtan, and the hands by doing some service for the Lord or cooking, etc. Glorifying the Lord with prayers, this is a type of devotional activity also. And we can say it is a type of kirtan. But we know that vandanam also, offering prayers, is a separate, considered a separate anga of bhakti, separate type of bhakti to offer prayers to the Lord. We see that Prahlad offers prayers, Dhruva offers prayers, Gajendra offers prayers, Lord Shiva offers prayers. So it's a, what we call stuti, it's a way of, type of devotional service to offer prayers to the Lord, glorification of the Lord. Prahlad wants to perform this type of devotional service. This, of course, is customary. If one meets a great person, then one should praise him somehow. That is the etiquette. Praise his good qualities. So Prahlad has met the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord saved him and killed Hiranyakashipu. So Prahlad is very grateful. So he wants to express his gratitude by praising the Lord and glorifying him through his prayers. So therefore he says, according to my intelligence, Manisham, according to whatever intelligence I have, I will offer my prayers. So even though I come from bad family, and family is not good, bad karma, still I will offer prayers with the hopes that the Lord will accept these genuine prayers. So he says that anyone in the material world who is covered by ignorance can be purified if he offers such prayers or hears such prayers of the Lord. So in other words, the process of kirtan and the process of sravanam is very, very important for getting out of this material world. We should remember, however, that this offering of prayer has to be done with the proper motive. Generally, when we want to do something, we have a motive or a goal in mind. And in the material world, that goal is material. And even if we perform devotional service, again, some motive is there. Why do we come to devotional service? Why do we chant Hare Krishna? So often it's because we have a motive. We want to get rid of our material suffering. We're trying to improve our material position. We want some change in our life, in our material life. So we perform devotional service to get a change in our material life. So this is a subtle way of, another subtle way of, a subtle expression of the different types of people that surrender to Krishna. Those who are in suffering, physical suffering, those who are in desirous of money, artha. Those who are inquisitive, those who have knowledge. The first two are considered sakama bhakti. It's not pure bhakti, it is mixed. So this is not considered real devotion. One has to be purified of this type of attitude at all times. So even if we offer prayers, if that mixture is there, then the result is not considered very proper. We will not get proper result. We offer mixed bhakti, we do the same activities of glorifying the Lord, we will not get the same result as if we offer with genuine devotion, pure devotion. So that is why in the beginning of the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami makes very clear what is this definition of devotional service. It is anya abhilashita shunya. We do not have other desires there. It is all favorable towards Krishna and Krishna alone. So if we do devotional service, any devotional service, any act engaging our body and mind in that, with that intention, then we'll get very quick results, because we're performing it in the proper way. And if we do a mixed way, then we get mixed results, very slow results. So not only the activity is important, but our motive is very, very important, and it'll affect the results that we get. So chanting is nice, but if chanting is done impurely, then we will not get such powerful effect. If it is done purely, without material motives, then we'll get much quicker result. So in this way, we have to start with the correct attitude. That is why Lord Chaitanya has said in the Shishtashikam that one can chant the name of the Lord constantly if one is more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and willing to offer all respects to others. Prabhupada says here, God is great, I am very small. Therefore, it's my duty to offer prayers to the Lord. So we have to genuinely feel ourselves in that fallen position, very small position, in relation to the Lord, and willing to serve the Lord. And we're willingly serving the Lord. And we don't have any other desire. If we have our material desires and they predominate in our devotional service, actually we're not considering ourselves small. We're considering ourselves very important. We want to get our material needs satisfied, and we will also do something for the Lord. So we're not putting ourselves in the proper position there. So only when we consider ourselves insignificant, then we can do our devotional service properly. So that is why I say you can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly if you have this attitude. And of course, Lord Chaitanya said that when he was speaking to Prakasananda Sarasvati in Benares, he said, yes, my spiritual master told me this. I should always chant the holy name, and I should remember this verse at all the times, at all times, and I should be lower than a straw on the street, more tolerant than a tree. And then the chanting will be very effective. So chanting is good, but then there's some mentality which is also favorable for the development of devotional service. So in the same way, prayers, offering prayers is good. It is vandanam, it is kirtan, etc. It is very beneficial and it can purify us. But we have to have the pure intentions there. And by this we can get great success. So in this way, without consideration of karma, if one has that sincerity, then he can offer objects in devotion and he can get very powerful spiritual results from this. So this is what Prahlad is doing here. He's simply, with a genuine sense of devotion, he's offering prayers to the Lord, and effect, of course, is very, very powerful for us. Any question there? This quality often comes up. We see it is mentioned quite often in different places in the Bhagavad Gita. One is friendly towards all living entities, compassionate towards all living entities. One sees all living entities equally. One does not discriminate between the cow and the tiger and the elephant and the Brahman and the Sudra or Chandala. One should have equal vision. Normally, of course, we don't consider such things as in devotional service. We're more concerned about serving Krishna and developing that attitude. But we see that it's often mentioned about seeing living entities equally, etc., things like that. And even in nectar devotion, which one would not expect such things in nectar devotion because speaking such high philosophical concepts, etc., but we'll find in the rules and regulations itself, in the 19th rule, is that one should not disturb other living entities unnecessarily. And furthermore, the 10th rule is that one should offer respects to the banyan tree and the cow and the brahmana, etc. So we have to show respect, and we should not disturb other living entities. So that's within the 64 angas of bhakti itself, when these rules are there, without which the other rules of hearing and chanting don't have such a good effect. And therefore these first 20 rules of devotion are considered to be the door to bhakti. If we show genuine compassion, we can say that's favorable. And if we don't have, on the other hand, compassion towards other living entities, including animals and plants, human beings, rather we show the opposite, then that is an obstacle in bhakti, quite a big obstacle. And therefore, at the very beginning, he said these first 20 rules should be observed in order to effectively practice bhakti. So how do we develop that? Of course, by the performance of devotional service that does develop. And therefore, subhada, as I explained last night, is that one becomes friendly towards all living entities. One shows affection for all living entities in the material world by the through the process of bhakti. So it naturally arises, because if we do devotional service to the Lord with faith, then of course the kleshagni takes place, that is the coverings of ignorance, etc., are reduced. And on the other hand, the natural qualities of the soul begin to develop. And the devotee naturally has all the qualities of the devatas, all the good sattvic qualities within him as part of his soul. And so by the performance of devotion, these things will be revealed and developed. So it is within devotional service itself. However, if we naturally develop, we cannot artificially develop it, but certain activities act as an obstacle to this development also. In other words, if we indulge in the opposite activity, it is highly unlikely we're going to develop compassion. If we indulge in cruelty, we'll say, well, it'll happen when it'll happen in devotional service. So meanwhile, I'll go on and I'll be cruel to animals and plants and human beings. If we cultivate the opposite attitude, obviously, we cannot never develop the good qualities. So therefore, we have to restrain ourselves from the negative qualities and practice bhakti. And through that, the compassion and other types of qualities will begin to appear. So we have some restrictions, and then we have the performance and devotional service. So by doing this, following rules and regulations, and following the process of devotional service, then this should appear. This compassion or mercy towards other living entities should appear.
What should do if someone stops or tries to hinder in the mode of passion, ignorance, others, devotional service? What can one do?
Oh, actually, ultimately, devotional service cannot be stopped. It's apratiyata. There's no obstacle to real devotion. Trinikasipu tried to stop Prahlad and his devotional service, but it would not stop. Of course, he tried to forbid him from preaching. He didn't do that. But even if he locks him up, but still, Prahlad is remembering the Lord. His devotional service is not stopped. The external activities may be stopped, but one cannot stop the mind from working also. For instance, in Russia, they threw that in when they were under communism, then they would grab the devotees and arrest them, put them in jail, take away their beads so they could not chant, not do anything. But it did not stop them from becoming devotees. They were still chanting in their minds, so they could not stop that. And they gave them drugs to make them stop in the mind also. Still it didn't work. And they came out of jail and still they were devotees. So somehow or other, if one has willpower, then devotional service cannot be stopped, no matter what the material situation is in this world. It can go on regardless of the material conditions. Sometimes we can express our devotion through body, etc. But sometimes we could not do that due to some circumstances. In that case, we can only resort to doing it in the mind. And that is also devotional service.
Talking about the mixed devotional service, sometimes apparently, in the those who tend to perform devotional service with mixed desires,
mm-hmm.
they seem to be more peaceful than the than the people like who are trying to
more peaceful. Well, ultimately they'll get mixed results. If you want prema, then you have to follow that method of getting prema. That is pure bhakti. Do you follow mixed result of mixed devotional stuff? You get mixed results. You'll get material things. If you want material things, you get material things. But you won't get Krishna. Huh? Krishna will give you all these material things. Huh? But that pure love, of course, is much rarer. It's expressed much rarer. And certainly it's more difficult because we have to detach ourselves from all these material things. But a person that does that, he will get the reward of getting prema. Whereas the other persons who have this mixed devotion, they won't get that. They'll simply get something in the material world. Of course, because they do some mixed devotional service, Krishna says, I accept this also. But, he says, the best of these is the jnani, the one who is in true knowledge. He is better than the rest.
For example, Dhruva Maharaj, he was, at least initially,
He had mixed devotion, yeah.
But he also got prema plus the result of his fruit of desires.
Yeah. So how did he do that if he had mixed devotion? That is because the Lord had great mercy upon him and he became purified. Same with Gajendra. He is an example of one who is in suffering and he was praying to the Lord. And yet, he went to Vaikuntha. And Dhruva was an example of one who wants a material acquisition, artha. And he also got darshan of the Lord and went to the Lord. So these are cases where the Lord himself intervened and helped purify the individual. This is called kripacity. The normal process is sadhana. And sadhana, if you start going into karma, then actually go in a different direction, you don't get Krishna at all. So in this case, going in a different direction, karma, Mr. Bhakti, but the Lord himself intervened and he purified them in such a way that they got pure devotional service as a result. When Dhruva saw the Lord, then he said, I no longer have a desire for these material things, and my desires for material acquisition are like broken pieces of glass compared to the diamond. Now that I've seen the Lord is like a real jewel. And all my previous desires for kingdom, etc., useless things, are worthless now compared to seeing the Supreme Lord, worshipping the Supreme Lord purely. So he changed at that point by the mercy of the Lord.
So one could ask, well, if Dhruva Maharaj was lamenting for these desires, why did Krishna give it to him?
He didn't even want those things afterwards. Dhruva didn't want. He was wanting to refuse, but the Lord said, you had one of these desires and I like to satisfy my devotee. So I'll give these things to you anyway. Of course, sometimes the Lord gives, sometimes he doesn't give, depending on the devotee. Because Bhagavatam also says, gradually I take everything away from the devotee so that he will surrender unto me. So if material things are unfavorable, he'll take them all away. If he knows that a devotee will surrender at that point, then he'll take things away and give an impetus for a surrender. In the case of Dhruva voluntarily gave up everything at the end when he saw Vishnu, and Vishnu was pleased with that. But then he also felt that because he wanted these things, I should give these things also. Now, of course, afterwards, Dhruva is lamenting, I'm on this pole star with all these wonderful assets given by the Lord, but actually it is not so good as pure devotion. I should actually be in the spiritual world with the Lord. That's much better than having this, it's like a punya or something. I'm stuck in the material world because of this. But the Lord gave it to him as because he said, I must have fulfilled the desires of my devotees.
But we do require some material facilities for devotion. We do require a little bit of material
facilities, yeah. Those things which are favorable for devotional service, yes.
Those
you can use. You need a body. You need some good health, etc. It's favorable for devotional service. So if you have those things, you can use them for Krishna. Very fine. And the Lord is willing to give all those things.
Yes, I'm
lucky. Yes. Use it for the Lord. But if we misuse it, then of course that is bad.
Otherwise.
Or we can attach to it. Then it leads to taking another birth in this material world if we get so much attachment for these things. But the Lord will give according to what one needs. So basically, the instruction given in Nectar Devotion is that the devotee should live. He should not deprive himself in this material world. He should get what he needs to support his material existence. At the same time, he should not go to extreme and take more than he needs also for his material existence. So he has to be very careful also.
So here we talk of my leg. So we want to do something with the Lord. So we got to come. Lord got the hand, Lord got the leg. So we got to provide everything.
Yeah.
That's permissible, isn't it?
Yeah. So we can offer so many things to the Lord for His for His pleasure. Okay. Hare Krishna.